Money FM 89.3, best of weekends.
Vaccines, very important topic for us, obviously, all the obvious reasons. I'd like to welcome to the show Assistant Professor Owen Shea Fenton from the Department of Chemical and Biomolecular Engineering at the National University of Singapore. Welcome, Owen. How are you today?
Hey, Glenn. Thank you very much for having me. I'm doing well, thanks.
Oh, good. Now, you have described yourself as a drug delivery delivery specialist working on ways to improve delivery into living systems. Tell us about that. First of all, what exactly does that mean and why is it so important?
Yeah, certainly. So I am basically a self-described drug delivery scientist. I run a research lab here at the National University of Singapore in the Department of Chemical and Biomolecular Engineering. And what we focus on is basically developing new types of materials that we can utilize to improve drugs. So that means making new types of materials that can improve the efficacy of drugs. We also make materials that can be used to improve the safety of drugs. And we also develop new types of materials that can be utilized to basically prolong the usage of a given drug. And so what we think about is kind of blending together interdisciplinary approaches in engineering, chemistry, and medicine to ultimately try to come up with treatments to help people with different types of ailments.
Now, it's very interesting. Your specialty is in RNA drugs and mRNA vaccines. Those are the types that are behind Pfizer and Moderna. I believe the founder of Moderna was one of your professors or somebody that you have worked with quite a lot. Now, I know you're not working specifically on COVID, but why is this RNA and mRNA stuff important to the rest of us lay people out here?
Yes, certainly. Yeah, so I was very fortunate to, so I actually arrived here in Singapore in September of 2020, at which point I began my assistant professorship here at NUS. Prior to that, I received my PhD and did my postdoctoral studies at MIT, and one of my former advisors is a guy named Professor Robert Langer, who's one of the co-founders of Moderna and is just the best scientist, best mentor you can possibly imagine. He's fantastic. So I'm very lucky to have studied in his group. And so, yeah, as you mentioned, we focus very heavily on the development of this type of new age vaccine called messenger RNA vaccines. And so vaccines, generally speaking, are one type of medication that we can administer into humans to train our natural defenses. And basically, these natural defenses are what is known as the immune system. And so what we can do is we can introduce some medication that will train our immune system to recognize bad guys, like the COVID-19 virus, bad guys like pretty much any form of pathogen. And what we do is we train our body to recognize that and destroy it before it becomes a problem inside of our own bodies.
Owen, you know, this idea of training our bodies or having something in our bodies that is changing it that way has been controversial for some people. And I don't know if it's just people that don't understand the science behind it or if there's a legitimate question behind, is this safe for humans? Do we want something in our body that's changing our abilities, immune system or ability to have that immune system react? How do you face questions like that? Because I honestly don't know what I don't know in this particular realm, but I have seen that criticism.
Sure. So I think probably one of the best ways to think about any form of medication is to try to understand kind of some of the fundamental principles that go into it. And so maybe one of the best ways to think about this is actually, so in living systems across kind of all species, we have this very common pathway. A molecule many of us have heard of is called DNA.
Right.
And that's kind of the blueprint information that's permanently stored inside of all of our cells. And that DNA basically encodes for proteins. And these are kind of the doers in our body. And so disease, many diseases are caused basically by either too little of proteins, too much of proteins. or perhaps some form of error in a given protein. And so messenger RNA, or mRNA, as we'll hear it abbreviated, especially in terms of these new vaccines, serves as a middleman between DNA and proteins. And it's temporary inside of our body. And so what that means is we could administer these mRNAs, have them be transported into cells, and then once it's there, it does its job, and then it's degraded by the body. So it actually doesn't alter our permanent DNA. Hmm. It's just a transient form of a medication that we can utilize to train our immune system to recognize something that we might face, like the COVID vaccine.
Interesting. And then eventually that particular mRNA goes away. Is that what you're saying?
That's correct. So messenger RNAs, one of the benefits of them versus some other types of vaccines, is that they are temporary in nature. And so what happens is they're administered into the body, they do their job, and then our body gets rid of it. And so it doesn't stay around permanently.
Yeah.
And so it basically figures out a way to train our immune system without altering anything permanently inside of our body.
Are all of the vaccines that we're seeing now for COVID, are they messenger RNA, or does it depend on which one?
It actually is a great question. So it depends on which type of vaccine we're looking at. So historically speaking, vaccines have a very, very rich history, dating back thousands of years, depending on how you think about clinical type approval processes. But vaccines are developed in multiple different classes. So one of the most common types of vaccine classes actually involves just taking a virus that is kind of causing problems for humans and weakening it, and then introducing that into the body. And that weakened form of the virus in this case is effectively what's being used to train our body to recognize it in the future without causing too much problem. And these sorts of vaccines have existed for a long time, right? People are vaccinated against many different types of pathogens in countries like Singapore, as well as the United States. And these vaccines have, really helped to reduce not only cases of lethality of certain types of viruses and pathogens, but also improve quality of life. So think about something like a polio vaccine, which was revolutionary in terms of its ability to mitigate some of the challenges associated with a particularly dangerous virus. Mm. Now, these different types of vaccine classes also include things like DNA viruses, but more recently and kind of very excitingly, we are seeing the emergence of these messenger RNA vaccines, which are the platformable technology behind the Moderna vaccine, as well as the Pfizer and BioNTech vaccines against COVID-19.
Mm. This is obviously very complex for most of us. I'll speak for myself, for me. But thank you. I think you've done a great job of really breaking it down. Let's talk about as we go forward. We're hearing now about the different mutations, the Brazil strain of COVID-19, the South Africa strain. With an mRNA, a messenger RNA delivery system, would we expect that these would have some ability to fight off? Or once that messenger dissipates from the system, could we find ourselves in a situation where a mutation of COVID, for example, would then need another type of vaccine?
It's a really great question as well. So one of the most fascinating things and also scary things about viruses, as a potential pathogen to humans, is they do have the ability to rapidly evolve. Kind of think about it as something that's kind of continuously changing its mask, right? It's one way that it can try to hide from our body, because if our body can recognize something, it's pretty good about shutting down foreign kind of material inside of it. And so with things like COVID, and you mentioned the Brazil strain, we also have the strains in the UK as well, right? We do see COVID actually is evolving rapidly over time. And that is certainly problematic.
Yeah.
However, one great thing with many types of vaccines, including these mRNA vaccines, is oftentimes they do have some form of protection across multiple different types of strains. Mm. And so the reason for this is because many viruses will conserve certain parts of the virus itself. And we can actually introduce that to our immune systems to train it to recognize what is conserved. Mm. And so in the case of the Pfizer-BioNTech vaccines, for example, we're looking at what's called the spike protein on the surface, which is basically the way that these viruses are able to enter cells rapidly into humans. And so what we've seen is even though the original vaccines were not necessarily developed for the specific new types of variants, we actually do see quite high levels of protection across multiple strains. Now, this also highlights kind of one of the major benefits of messenger RNA vaccines relative to other types of vaccine platforms. So messenger RNA vaccines, you can almost think about them like computer code. And what's super beautiful with them is they're incredibly scalable and they're rapidly programmable. And so what that means is we know the code, we know how to incorporate basically, you know, different types of coding languages into these RNAs, and we can rapidly generate new vaccines to address different types of variations. And that's quite unique with respect to messenger RNA vaccines. It's one of the reasons that they're so promising, not only for infectious disease in the case of COVID, but also next generation types of pathogens and health problems like cancers, like protein replacement disorders, including hemophilia and gene editing. They're actually platformable technologies where we can use kind of a simplified code to ultimately program for treating almost any type of disease inside of the body.
Wow.
And that's kind of what my group here at NUS focuses on.
This is an amazing conversation, and I hope I can have you on again in the future to further, you know, look into this, because there's so much to discuss, and unfortunately we just don't have time to do it all today. But I want to thank you for coming on and giving us this kind of tutorial on all of these things, and really making it approachable in a way that many of us non-scientists can understand. I've been talking with Assistant Professor Owen Shea Fenton from the Department of Chemical and Biomolecular Engineering at NUS. Thanks so much, Owen, for coming on today. Appreciate it.
Thank you so much.
To listen to more great interviews, download our podcasts at moneyfm893.sg or download the SBH radio app available on Google Play or the App Store.